the last trump. And the song that we sang, number 522, when the roll is called up yonder, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and glorious morning when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of His resurrection share, when His chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I want to talk about that last trump and when we're gathered together to be with the Lord. If you would turn your Bibles with me this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and beginning in verse 1, I want us to think about a number of things about this day when the Lord shall come back. And the first thing I want to talk about is that no one knows when this is going to occur. No one knows when that trump is going to sound. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anyone, no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well, that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night." And it's not that the Lord is a thief, but it's that His coming is like a thief. And that is, no one knows when it's going to happen, and that many are going to be surprised. We'll notice here in just a few moments that Christians will not be surprised, because Christians are anticipating this day every day, every moment of every day, and we're not going to be surprised. As a matter of fact, we're going to welcome and we're going to love His appearance. But the vast majority on the earth are going to be surprised, because it's just like a thief in the night, and the thief comes and you're surprised. On March 20th, San Diego, Fox News, the police searched that Thursday for three teenage boys who surprised a sleeping North Park teen in his home and attacked him. And that was a surprise. He was sleeping. He was not expecting it. If he was expecting these teenagers to break into his home and to attack him, he wouldn't have been asleep. On March 19th, Kansas City Star, a man told police that three intruders surprised him and his four-year-old son that morning, entered into his home and stole their TVs and some video games. The man came down to see what was happening and what the noise was all about, and the robbers surprised him and told him to go into his bedroom where they stayed while they robbed his house. And so when Jesus comes, it's going to be a surprise to most people. Us as Christians, we're anticipating it. We're ready if it happens right now, although we don't know when it's going to be, but we're anticipating, we're ready, and we welcome His coming. Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 24. And here Jesus is talking about His coming at the destruction of Jerusalem, where He came to destroy the temple and Jerusalem and to punish those Jews who had rejected Him and had been persecuting the saints. In Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 36, here He is talking about His coming. "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah." And so here is a parallel for us to think about. "For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And so then the water came and the springs were opened up and all was flooded." Now everyone was surprised there. Now although I don't guess Noah knew the exact day the Lord was going to say, "Okay, it's time to load up the ark." But he was working, he was anticipating, he knew that these things were going to come to pass. Although he didn't know the exact day, it wasn't like some big shock. He was working year after year after year, and he was preparing the ark, and he was just waiting for the time. The Lord said, "Go on, get in the ark, and it's going to flood." But everybody else, although Peter says Noah was a preacher of righteousness, everyone else was surprised. They were marrying and giving in marriage and doing all the normal things that they usually do. They weren't like Noah, and Noah was preparing day after day, year after year. Now, you and I, we do not know the exact time. The Lord's not revealed that to any of us. But we work day after day, year after year, knowing that this could occur any time. And so we are awaiting His return. And although I suppose you could say there's going to be some surprise, if it happened right now, I mean, we're all going to be somewhat surprised, but we're working every day for this very event. Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 7. Now, when this occurs, that there are going to be a lot of people who are happy about it, and they're going to be rejoicing about it, but the vast majority are going to be very sad at the coming of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, the Lord says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it." In other words, there are many people who are lost. Verse 14, "For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are a few who find it." Now, when we go over to the book of Revelation in chapter 7, we see that the number of souls in heaven are going to be just myriads. But compared to all who have ever lived upon the earth, it's going to be a small percentage. It's going to be few. Now, drop down with me to verse 21. This is what the Lord tells us about the day when there is judgment in heaven. Verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So Jesus is telling us that when all of this occurs and there is the judgment and all men stand before the Lord, that there are many who think that they're going to enter into heaven, but they're going to be surprised because they're going to hear, "Depart from me. They thought they were doing what the Lord wanted them to do, but they had been deceived by devil, perhaps by false teachers, and they had not practiced righteousness, but rather lawlessness." So it's going to be a surprise. It's going to be like a thief in the night, although we as Christians are working forward to that day. We as Christians, we're going to be glad and we're going to rejoice, but most people are going to be sad on that day. Turn your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And here the Apostle Paul is talking about the appearance of Jesus Christ, and he tells us something about us as Christians and what we are going to do, what our attitude is going to be in verse 8. Now remember in verse 7 that Paul says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith." He says in verse 8, "In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me in that day, and not only to me, but also," now notice this, this is going to be our attitude when the Lord comes back, "but those who have loved His appearing." And so when the Lord comes back, we're going to love His appearing. We're going to rejoice at His appearance. We're going to be glad that He has come back. And we'll talk about those things in just a moment that we're going to be glad for on that day. Now, I also want us to remember, turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 13, that the earth is going to be destroyed. Now here we have from the Scriptures, it's like looking into a crystal ball, if there was such a thing, that we could look into a crystal ball and that we could see the future. But now as Christians, living by faith, we go to the Bible, we read these things, we understand it, and we realize these things are really going to happen. And that is that this whole earth is going to be destroyed in flaming fires. These things are burnt up. Now, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14 tells us this: "For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Now this is the city whose architect is God. It is the city that we are journeying to, the heavenly city, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 10 and 16. And this city, as is revealed, we don't take time this morning in our lesson, but we have recently in the book of Revelation, this city is so absolutely incredible. And it's described as a city of gold. The streets are gold. It's described as a city that is 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, and 1,500 miles tall, going up, about seven times higher than the space shuttle as it hovers above the earth. It is a magnificent city, so incredible that we cannot really imagine in any concrete way. Why? Because we can't build anything that goes up 1,500 miles. Or anything so large, or anything so wondrous as it's described. And so, this earth and our cities here, they're not going to last. They're going to end, they're going to be destroyed, and we are going to enter into the city of God, the heavenly city of God. Now turn your Bibles with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And let's be reminded of what he tells us here. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. And perhaps this is an artist's rendering of that. And if you could imagine, maybe we will witness these things. We'll talk about what we will be doing as we rise up to meet the Lord. And we'll talk about what the angels will be doing on the face of the earth. And this destruction. I don't know if we will be able to watch from heaven and see this earth be burned up and be consumed with fire and perhaps to just evaporate into nothingness. Perhaps all of our solar system and our galaxy, perhaps all of the universe will cease to exist. Perhaps all of the stars will explode and implode and all of the planets will all burn up and disintegrate. Perhaps all of this will be gone, and perhaps we will look and see what is left when our universe is gone. Can you imagine that? It's hard to imagine, isn't it? But we must realize that these things will be destroyed. And we look at the ground, we look at the sky and the trees and all that's around this building, furniture, our homes, it will all be gone. Turn your Bibles with me over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And let's look at verse 26. Hebrews chapter 12, and look at verse 26. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yes, once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. In other words, there is a great destructive force coming. And this force is going to be great. And those things which are created, these earthly things, are going to be shook and they're going to be destroyed. And there's only going to be one thing that remains. And that is heaven and our heavenly home. Now look at verse 28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. And here is our attitude. Because we know these things are true. Because we know these things are going to happen. Because we know that these things could happen any minute, any second, that these things could happen before I'm done with this lesson. That these things could happen before we come back tonight. That these things could happen before we ever pick up a phone to call our friends again or our relatives that aren't here. Before any of those other things could happen, this whole world could be destroyed. And so because of that, we have this attitude that we are grateful to God, that we offer to Him acceptable service, and we do this with reverence and with awe. That we're reverent toward God, and that we are respectful toward God, and that there is this awe that is about it, that our love is cast out fear, but yet there is this awe, this reverence we have towards God. And so we are careful when we go to school, because we know I may never go home again, that this earth may end, that this school may be burned up. How many people do you think go to school and think, you know, this might be the last day ever? I may not ever go home today. That this will be the end of everything. That everything's going to be destroyed. That I'm not going to go home and see my parents. I'm not going to see them tonight. Tonight will not even come. And so there is reverence and awe because our God is a consuming fire. Although many in the world today say, well, God is love. God would never hurt anybody. There is no hell. God would never make anybody suffer in hell. We know better than that. And we live as those who know better. Turn your Bibles also with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. And Peter here tells us of this attitude. And remember verse 10, that the Lord is going to come, it's going to be as a thief, that these things are going to pass away, that there's going to be a roar, if you can imagine this great roar, greater than any movie theater we may hear a roar, a great roar, and there's going to be this great destruction. This great burning up, verse 11. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be? That's because we know this. This isn't just some fanciful story. This isn't make-believe. This isn't pretend. This isn't just some movie somewhere. This isn't some story you read in the book and you think about it and all this. This is real, folks. This is absolutely real. This is absolutely going to happen. And so we are holy in our conduct and godly, verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. Because we know it's real. We believe it's real. That we know it could happen today. It could happen any minute now. And we live every day knowing that, believing that, realizing that. We are holy, godly, but also, verse 12, we are looking for. Let me ask you this. And I tell you what, this is hard to do. It's hard for me to do. Do you look every day for the coming of Christ? Do you look for it? Do you say, you know, today could be the day? Do you live, today could be the day? Or are we figuring, well, you know, I got tomorrow and next week and next year and all this. The Lord's not coming. And are we hastening? This is hard to do. Hastening the day. That is with eagerness. We are wanting that day to come. And that's hard. Because we have loved ones here. We have children. We have parents. We have grandparents. We have friends. And some of them are lost. Some of our friends, we want them to be saved. Some of our family, we want them to be saved. And so there's a part of us that said, well, Lord, just continue on with this. Verse 9, the Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And you know the way that I look at it. This may be wrong, but the way I look at it, if there was one person who was going to repent today upon this earth, the Lord would give them a few minutes to repent and change their life. And although I have friends, I have loved ones that I want to come to Christ and I want them to obey the gospel, I want the Lord to come more than that. Looking for the day and hastening the day. And therefore, our conduct is holy and godly. Our attitude is one of gratitude, reverence, and awe, because we know it's going to happen, and it could be today. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And this is the sad part of it all. And we have to talk about this for just a moment. And that for us as Christians, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be absolutely great. And we'll talk just a little bit more when that trump sounds what we're going to be doing. But for just a moment, I want to talk about those people who are upon the earth when the Lord comes back, what they're going to be experiencing. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we begin reading in verse 6. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. Now that's another component that we've not talked about yet. Yes, when the last trump sounds, the Lord comes back, and at some point these things are going to be destroyed, but also he's bringing some others with him. One group who is coming with him is a group of angels. And these angels are coming in flaming fire, and they're going to be using that flaming fire to punish those who are living upon the earth. And the Bible says this, verse 8, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Now you see, this is the difference. For those who obey the gospel, they are saved, and we'll see in a moment, they're going to rise up to be with the Lord. But those who do not obey the gospel, they're going to remain here to be punished in flaming fire by these angels until they're taken away to be judged and then cast into the lake of fire. And I want you to notice something else while we're at this passage. Those who are saved are those who know God, verse 8, and those who obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is a big thing in the world today. Do you know the Lord? And what do they mean usually when they say, do you know the Lord? They usually mean, have you prayed a prayer of faith receiving Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior? And that's not what it means. To know the Lord means to obey Jesus Christ. And when we obey Jesus, we know God. As a matter of fact, in 1 John chapter 2, he says to know God simply is to keep his commandments. Turn your Bibles with me over to, let's look at verse 9. Verse 9. Those are the ones who are punished here upon the earth as Jesus brings with him the angels in flaming fire. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now, many will ask, what is hell? There are a number of ways that it's communicated within the Word of God. That it's Gehenna fire, where the fire never goes out, where it's eternal punishment. That it's a place where there is utter darkness, and that it's a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. But also, here in verse 9 is an expression that means more to me as to what hell that has the biggest impact on me, and it is the place of eternal destruction away from the presence of God. And you know, we don't know what it means to be away from the presence of God, because God showers his blessings, Jesus tells us, upon all men. He causes it to rain on the good and the evil. That everyone has air to breathe, the good and the evil. In our community, everyone has water to drink. You open up the faucet, there is the water. You turn on your air conditioning, you turn on your heat. It doesn't matter if you're good or you're evil. But there is a day coming for those who do not obey Jesus Christ that they're going to be sent to a place where the Lord is not. His presence is not there at all. That there is not one blessing at all from God. And that's not the place I want to be. And I know it's not the place you want to be either. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now let's talk about us as Christians. And we get to talk about the good parts. We as Christians, we are going to be transformed. We're going to be changed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our home, is torn down," that's our physical body, "we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." In other words, we have this spiritual body that lives for eternity in heaven with God. "For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven." And let's take a moment. Do you groan to be clothed with this dwelling from heaven, this spiritual body? Drop down with me to verse 4. "For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life." And so this mortal body will be taken off in death. And God gives us a new body. And that body is a body of immortality that lives forever. Drop down with me to verse 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer," brethren, do you prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Turn your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 3, and here Paul talks about it just a little bit differently. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Here he talks about verse 20, "Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior." Now let me ask you this, are you eagerly waiting? You see, we have to work at this, don't we? I think it's a challenge to all of us. It's a challenge to me to be hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, to be eager, to be loving His appearance. You know, we who are affluent Christians, it seems that we have a difficult time about this. It's hard for us because life here is pretty good. Things are pretty enjoyable. We would just rather stay here for a while and enjoy these things. And we have to work and be diligent. As we've already talked about, understanding what's going to happen. Believe what's going to happen. Trust God for what's going to happen. When the Lord comes and these things are going to be dissolved in fervent heat. And so we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. And so if the Lord came right now, He would come, He would appear in the sky, there would be this roar, there would be the shout of the archangel, there would be this trump that sounded. Some says, well, that's not literal, that's just symbolic. But let's just say it's literal for right now. The Lord can sound a trumpet anytime He wants to. And you and I will be changed, Paul says, in a twinkling of an eye in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We will be transformed into our spiritual body by the exertion of Christ's power upon you. Now turn your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And this is our scripture reading for this moment, for this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," now get this, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and you believe that, "we've observed the Lord's Supper in memory of that already. Even so, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus." And so when Jesus comes, there's two groups of people. Well, the angels, you wouldn't call them people. There's two groups. There are the angels who are coming in flaming fire, and they are all the saints that have already passed away. And He says here, He will bring those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. But the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord." And so if the Lord came right now, there would be this shout of the archangel. There would be this trumpet as it sounds. And we would see the Lord coming, and there perhaps following behind him would be the angels in flaming fire, and there would be all the saints who have fallen asleep in Jesus Christ, and we would lift up off of our feet from the planet Earth, gravity no longer having its effect upon us, and we would rise up to meet them in this grand reunion in the sky. Do you believe that? Do you trust that? Do you live every day knowing this could be the day? And do you know absolutely without any doubt exactly what will happen when that occurs? It changes your life when you live that way, doesn't it? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, we will not read right now. When Jesus comes, we'll marvel. We'll marvel. That it'll be so marvelous, it'll be so grand, as we love his appearance. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. The last trump. The things that will happen. It's a wonderful thing. A couple of questions. Number one, are you ready for the last trump to sound? You know what's going to happen. You believe what's going to happen. There's no doubt in your mind what's going to happen. Are you ready for that last trump to sound? Are you going to be glad when it sounds, or are you going to be sad? The earth will be destroyed. Unfortunately, unbelievers will be punished. The saints will rise to meet the Lord in the air and be with him forevermore, taken home to heaven. Turn your songbooks 473. Let's get them open. And I think we have a great song to sing this morning for the invitation song. When he comes in glory by and by. Oh, how sweet 'twill be to meet the Lord when he comes in glory by and by. What a song of praise will be outpoured when he comes in glory by and by. We will have our robes all white as snow when he comes in glory by and by. Oh, be ready with the Lord to go when he comes in glory by and by. I am looking for that happy day when he comes in glory by and by. For with him I hope to soar away when he comes in glory by and by. And brethren, you know from the Bible that hope is a confident expectation. There's nothing wishy-washy about it. Absolutely confident that when the Lord comes, if he comes right now, you know exactly what's going to happen to you and where you will be. Are you ready for that day?